okay, I'm here, and then let me see who's there, and let's see how good your connection is. Murli Manohar, Krishnananda, Ananda Chaitanya, Mr. Thornton, Ramananda Das, Ron Dals, Purushottam, Pratima Ghosh, Hare Krishna Pratima.
This is Pandita.
And Kirit, and Gandharvika Allen, and Ananga Sivir, and Colin Campbell, Dharmaraj, Chaitanya Charan, Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Charan, that's it. Okay, good. You can hear all right now?
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Okay. Oh, all right, today I went to a TV show, about the decoration, and we had a program over there, and then tomorrow we're having our conference at the university, usually a day-long conference, late conference, hard to translate, it means sort of exist, I guess it means what are you conference, and this year we're talking about the financial crisis, and then I'm going out to the farm actually for Holy Name Festival, Saturday, Sunday, Hare Krishna, and looking forward to seeing the devotees there. And I was just downstairs. We just offered our here in Budapest. I offered the medal, gold cross to Srila Prabhupada. He's wearing it right now, as well as the written declaration that comes along with it from the president. And meeting with the devotees. Explaining to them how it's actually their sort of victory. It was a nice term that we came up with, sort of a oasis in Kali Yuga. Usually in Kali Yuga, unless you lick Kali's boots, there's always persecution, problems, so many difficulties that come along with preaching Krishna consciousness, and that every once in a while there's a little oasis of bliss, oasis of recognition and appreciation from the people that we're trying to help. So it's nice. One thing before I forget, there were some devotees on the podcast who wrote in, who asked if they could actually get on to, here's one, his name is Pundrik Vidyaniri Das, and I don't know where he's from, but he wanted to see if he could participate in the Skype conference. I don't know what policy we have as yet for participants, but in any case, that's just something to keep in mind. Okay, what have we got over there on the other side? And I didn't get to see very many devotees over there. I just sort of flew in and out. As it turned out, my dentist couldn't find anything that significant that I just ended up going there and then going from there to the airport. So it was sort of a lightning visit. Okay. We've got a lot of static here. Someone's got to turn on, someone's got to turn off the microphone. Okay, so what's the news?
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, would you like Chaitanya Charan has a couple of questions you'd like to ask?
Okay.
Chaitanya?
Oh, you better talk louder. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me there, Guru Maharaj?
No.
Is that better?
No.
No?
No. Can any of you hear it?
Can you hear me there, Guru Maharaj?
No. No, not at all. And there's a lot of static coming across as well. I don't think your connection's going to work. Someone's got a mobile phone near there. You have to turn it off. Take on your phone. You have to cut out. Hare Krishna.
Just
put your question and just talk, and Deva Prasad, don't interfere. Go ahead.
Okay, so my first question is, where and when did the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra first appear in the form we chant it today?
Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is eternally existing in the spiritual world. It's not a mantra. We just call it a mantra so that people who are used to religious things can relate to it. But actually, it's the ultimate sound vibration. It's the perfect song of glorification of Krishna and Golokera Premadhana. And it's the wealth of Goloka Vrindavan. It never came into being. It's like God. It's eternal. Anything on that?
And also, if the chanting of the Maha Mantra is the yogya for this age, why are there so many obstacles to being able to chant it well enough to achieve its potency and benefit?
What are the obstacles?
We have the 10 offenses, and always it seems like, you know, to not break one offense or other is...
But those aren't obstacles. That's just... You're the obstacle. There's no obstacles to chanting Hare Krishna. Those are just our bad habits. That's just... If you want to... it's like there's no obstacles to driving a car. You just have to know how to drive it. You can't say, learning how to drive a car is an obstacle. It's not an obstacle. That's what a car is. So similarly, there's no obstacles to chanting Hare Krishna, but there's a certain way that you have to do it. Just like if you want to approach Krishna, then you have to approach him with love. Similarly, if you want to chant Hare Krishna, then if you want to chant it, these are the things that you have to avoid in order to chant it. They're not obstacles. They're actually the opposite of an obstacle. They're the things that make chanting happen. Otherwise, if you chant with those things, then you won't be chanting Hare Krishna. Something else? Hello.
Hare Krishna. There was one more question, but I'm aware that there are other people.
No. Go ahead. At least we got a good connection now. I wasn't communicating with anyone else before, so go ahead.
Okay. So the question was, if we can see that the gopis are suffering so much from being separated from Krishna, and we're told love in separation is the highest form of love to be aspired for, are we not heading for a life of misery if we achieve such love?
Well, that's not misery. It's bliss. It's ecstasy. It's ecstasy. It gives a higher pleasure than actually even meeting with Krishna. But it's not misery. It just looks like that to us because we're miserable either when we're happy or when we're not. For us, everything is misery. Material world means misery. and that's bliss, that's ecstasy, it's happiness. But it has different ecstatic symptoms, and some of those ecstatic symptoms appear in the form of what we relate to. Our happiness is misery, from the spiritual sense. So no, we're headed for a life of eternal bliss. That should be the least of our problems. Something else?
No, Guru Maharaj, I think that those are the three questions I'd sort of prepared for today.
Okay, great.
Very much, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Okay,
then you turn off. Let's hear another Chaitanya. Can't you hear me? Can't you communicate?
Hi, Guru Maharaj.
Okay, you're there. Let's see how loud you are.
Prabhupada.
Have you got any questions?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. It was just a question regarding book distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard in a podcast which you put out at the beginning of September, which was a conversation between the four sannyasis, and you were saying and emphasizing how distributing Shastra should be emphasized, and Prabhupada emphasized it much more than others. But then I heard another podcast a few days later.
You have to speak right into the microphone.
Is this better, Guru Maharaj? Can you hear me better now?
Keep talking. Just speak into the microphone.
Okay. So I was just asking you a question regarding a podcast which was out near the beginning of September between the four sannyasis. And you were saying there that Prabhupada emphasized distributing Shastra.
Right. I heard that. Just keep talking.
And then a few days later, in another podcast, you were explaining how the sound vibration, the words of a pure devotee, are just like Shastra. So when we distribute the science of self-realization, for example, which is the Prabhupada's words, essentially, it is just like Shastra. So how do we differentiate between the two? And should we give out Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita over the science of self-realization?
Yes, because the pure devotee told us to distribute Bhagavatam. That's his mission. His mission was Srimad Bhagavatam. And his mission was Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's what we're meant to be distributing. That's his instruction. And Prabhupada's purports are there. Prabhupada's sound vibration is also there within Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's our main business. Our main business is to distribute Bhagavad Gita, mostly Bhagavad Gita, and then you know, people who become more Krishna conscious, they can also then understand Srimad Bhagavatam. But that's what we should be giving to the people. And then, of course, it's valuable for them to have other books that help bridge the gap to that. But that shouldn't be the main, shouldn't end up being the main book distribution, secondary literature. Indirect literature. Main thing is distributing Prabhupada's books.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay.
There was one other question, Guru Maharaj, if that's okay.
Go ahead.
It was regarding some devotees recently returned from India, and in Delhi they went to Akshardham. The home of the Swaminarayans, and they were explaining how magnificent it was, and in particular they were saying that there were many volunteers there, and one devotee was explaining that at any one time there are 850 volunteers who come from all over the world in order to do any service.
There's something going on. I don't know. I think if you're chatting or something like that, I can hear every when it's being pushed somehow. So maybe I think David Prosser, if you turn off your microphone so I don't hear things. Go ahead, keep talking. 850 volunteers.
And they were coming from all over the world, often giving up their jobs or taking leave from their jobs in order to help out in whatever way was required. So I had a couple of questions regarding this. First of all, what are they doing that we're not doing? How do we create that kind of dedication within our own movement?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
But in terms of maybe you may have some insight as to how they may be doing it, because it's not the only temple where they do have that kind of manpower available. It seems to me that we find it more difficult.
We got contact with the Nisven temple, discuss with them, and we can find out. One thing they've got is they've been going for 250 years.
Mm.
And they've been going for 40 years in England. So that also adds up to a lot. When your children's children, everyone's all, this is really your religion, and things become a tradition. They've obviously established that tradition. We're just in the process of establishing the tradition of volunteer help. You get quite a few volunteers there on Janmashtami and other days. It needs to develop and grow. It takes time to set up systems and to inspire people.
Mm. Fair enough. And then the second question regarding this was, what benefit spiritually do these volunteers accrue, and more generally someone following something like the Swaminarayan tradition, what is their spiritual, what sort of spiritual credits do they accrue, and sort of what is their journey?
Well, they accrue spiritual credits as much as their religion is spiritual, to the extent that it follows parampara, is based on shastra, and realizes the mission of Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To that degree, they get spiritual benefit. You get a lot, so you can take it from there.
How do we measure that? How do we understand to what degree they're following the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
You just see how much they're chanting Hare Krishna, and how much they're worshipping Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Which is close to nil for most traditions.
Okay. Well, that's the Yuga Dharma. Nasti eva, nasti eva.
But are they getting closer to that? Are they somehow by detaching themselves from their material situation by serving? Surely that is bringing them closer, although it may not be purely spiritual, it's bringing them closer to a spiritual ideal.
Is it bringing them closer? It depends what their siddhanta is. Mayavadivasya shunahoy vasharvanash. Also depends what their philosophical conception is. If it's a Vedic line of gradual elevation and purification, then fine. If it's Mayavad, then it's not getting. You have to first get free from Mayavad in order to go forward.
And then, sort of, in terms of understanding other religions and other faiths,
it's a
Christian, for example, they're also not chanting Hare Krishna. They're not following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to some degree, they're not, their philosophy isn't Mayavadi. They say that they don't know what God looks like, although they do understand that God has a form. What is their...
I haven't met many Christians who accept that God has a form.
Fair enough. I met a Christian, a couple of Christians recently who were saying that, but I suppose it's different.
You may, but they're more the exception rather than the rule.
Fair enough.
Anyway, different religious traditions are meant to make people pious. On the other hand, they have to have a proper sambandha gyan in order for that piety to compound ultimately into some kind of agyata sukriti. And, you know, maivad is something that undermines whatever piety that someone renders. The only benefit there then is not particularly their spiritual, their practices or whatever it is that they're doing, but what it is that the devotees are doing. So if devotees somehow or another cut through all that and can manage to convince people of a personal concept of God and taking up devotional service in earnest, then that's how people acquire credit through the association of pure Vaishnavas.
Thank you very much.
Okay, who's next? How about Ramananda Das? You know, someone's got the microphone on, they're chatting, and that sound of that chatting is going back and forth.
Yeah, Kumaraj, a lot of devotees got cut off. Can I try to add them back on, or we'll just leave it as it is?
I don't mind if you turn them back on. Does that affect me in any way?
No, it's just gonna.
No, but if you turn off your microphone, I don't have to hear them ringing in the meantime. Thank you. There was Ramananda over there. Okay, well, Ramananda's no longer there, and everybody's cut off now. Well, unfortunately, weren't able to continue that somehow or another. The conference just fell apart, and the connection is, or something is too weak. Anyway, that's what there is, and Hare Krishna, everyone, and hope that your connection with Krishna and Krishna's holy name is better than the Skype connection that we had. Hare Krishna.